Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Belfast. My name is Jackie Lee, and I'm your worship associate today. Here, in this place of peace, may we find hope. Here, in this place of connection, may we find life-giving community. Here, in this place of rest, let the unrest of our hearts turn us toward justice. Here in this space made sacred by memories of connection, let us each feel ourselves part of the new that grows from the old in the spiraling unity of years.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Marit is here. I was wondering. I promised I wouldn't embarrass her. We'll see. So after being with us for 15 years, over 15 years, Marit Knight will be leaving her position as our administrator at the end of this month. In a very real way, Marit's been the face of this church during that 15 years, whether it be in person or on the phone or email. Marit responds to anyone who inquires about our church. She's usually the first person who we all see when we come into the church during the week. And in the new office with the window facing her, she and anyone who enters the building can wave a hand with a friendly hello. So I have to admit that the very first time I met with Marit, which was during candidating week, I learned quickly that she was going to be my boss. What she was, in fact, was an incredible support, always there to help, always competent, always respectful, always greeting with a warm smile. There's no way that we can thank you adequately, Marit, for the 15 plus years you have been here, serving and supporting us in this faith community. But I do hope you have a sense of how grateful we are. And we wish you many more exciting adventures on your little, what is that? Well, it is a scooter, yes. There's a particular name, but yes. On the little scooter. Have you seen Marit on her scooter with this huge helmet? And, you know, it's fabulous. I love the scooter. Great color, too. It's almost teal. So we hope that you again have great adventures and a lot of joy in your post-UUCB administrator's life. And we hope that this gift certificate will help you have some fun. We know. We'll have a chance to thank Marit during the reception after the service. But from our hearts to yours, Marit, thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's express our appreciation.
We're having the children's story now.
I would invite the children and those that are young at heart to come down and sit. You are sitting. Good morning. I know it's early. Good morning. Good morning. Well, today's story is going to be about our UU faith. And so it's kind of hard to talk about what our UU faith is. It's hard to kind of describe what it is. So I'm going to give to you a spirit play story that we present to our primary kiddos. They may have heard this story before, but that's okay because these baskets are meant to be heard over and over again. Okay, so I'm going to just get my story out, and I'm just going to let those that aren't in the primary room know that when I put things out on this table, this is my work, and so I'm going to ask that you keep your hands to yourself, because this is going to be my workspace for right now, okay? You can use it after downstairs, but for right now, this is my space, okay? So the first thing I'm going to put out is this black thing. What do you think this is?
A tree.
You think it's a tree?
A dead tree.
A dead tree. Well, it could be. It is sort of tree-like, isn't it? Let's see if we lay it out, if that makes it look a little bit better. It is a tree. You were right. It is a tree. It kind of does look like the shadow of a tree. This is actually our UU tree. It's a symbol of our UU faith chalice right there. That's going to go right in the center. And this tree has seven branches. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven branches. There's only seven. And then you'll see that down below, there are six roots. We're not going to talk about what the six roots mean today. We'll do that another day. But for right now, we're going to talk about what these seven branches of this yu-yu tree is. The first branch helps remind us that we are all important. So we're going to put that on the first branch. And to help us remember that with a visual, we have a little present. So each person is a gift, just like this present. So that's going to go right on our first branch. Our second branch is to be kind in all you do. That lives on our second branch. And our visual aid is this little heart that helps remember us to be kind. Our third branch, that we're free to learn together. And the visual is this little mini book. Isn't it cute? So adorable. Little book. It's got pages. It's just got blank pages for now. The story is yet unwritten for that one. This is my work. Number four is to search for your truth, whatever your truth is for you. And to help us remember that is this flower. And the flower reaches and grows and searches for sun, just like we search for what our truth is. So that's what that is. Okay? Our fifth branch is that we all have a say. And our reminder is this little bell. And the bell is to help us remember to listen to that voice inside when something doesn't feel right. When you think one of your friends isn't getting listened to, listen to the bell. Remember, we all have a say. Our sixth branch is that we work for peace. And the dove is a symbol of peace. And our last branch is that we care for the earth. And so we have a little globe to help us remember to care for our earth. So if anybody ever asks you, what do you use believe? These seven principles right here. These are the things that we believe in. So if you think of it like a tree, it might be a little easier. Do you guys want to help me put them back into the box?
I'll have a short prayer meditation. It's called What We Do Matters by Laura Holton Ludwig. Spirit of life and love, we are here because we believe what we do matters. We are here because we believe how we live our life matters. That with every act of kindness or meanness, courage or fear, love or hate, we are weaving the fabric of the universe that holds us all. We are here because we need encouragement, because we need strength, because so often we get distracted, we get in a rush, we don't think, we choose the easy way, when the harder path is what our spirits truly long for. We are here because none of us is perfect, but together we inspire one another to try again, to take another step. We are here because we have felt the stirrings of love and grace in our hearts and hands, and we crave more of that for ourselves, and not only for ourselves, for everyone. We are here because how we live matters. Blessed be.
I believe it's this coming Wednesday evening that Rosh Hashanah starts. And about a week and a half from now is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. We Unitarian Universalists don't particularly have some kind of ritual or something systematic when it comes to confession or forgiveness. Although it's amazing how many people confess when I go to Hannaford's and I meet them. But there's nothing ritualistic about that. It just happens. We have, nevertheless, that doesn't mean we don't need forgiveness, including ourselves and other people. So we're going to sing hymn number 1037. Actually, it's a chorus. So Jackie and I will be doing the words, and then we'll all be singing together. So that is 1037. Okay. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause.
For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again.
For losing sight of our unity.
For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again.
It was recently that I was at a gas station here in Maine, and I happened to overhear parts of a conversation between two of the employees. What caught my attention were words like soul and heaven. They were apparently talking about living beings other than humans and whether or not animals and insects had feelings and a soul. It seemed clear from the conversation that they did not. One of the employees seemed to think it was unimaginable that there would be any mosquitoes in heaven, for example, since it was quite dubious that they had a soul, and clearly mosquitoes have no feelings. At first, the teacher part of me came to the foreground, and I wanted to participate in the conversation and ask on what basis they made all the assumptions they were making. And then the theologian part of me came out, and I wanted to ask them about their ideas of God and heaven and soul. And then the political part of me came forward, and I'm not going to tell you what that came out to look like. but their souls were in jeopardy. And then I stopped being judgmental. And I found myself amazed at what had just occurred. I was a witness in a gas station, of all places, to two people doing theology. It may not necessarily be what I believe, but they were talking about their own worldview and what ultimately was meaningful to them. And I smiled. How cool was that? Our intern, Amy Fiorelli, asked the key question, what do you believe at the council retreat as a small group ministry exercise? She noted correctly that we as Unitarian Universalists rarely ask each other what it is we believe. While we may not see the word theology or use the word theology that often in our vocabulary, I think of all of us as theologians. We all have beliefs and a worldview that informs those beliefs. I think of you, including myself, however, as struggling theologians. Our beliefs may not be very systemic or systematic or tied up neatly into a coherent package. They may not include a theistic God or a belief that Jesus was God incarnate who came to save us. In fact, we probably have more questions and doubts than anything else. Nevertheless, something keeps us going, whether it be a love of nature, the goddess, a strong sense of community, the desire to serve others, the power of love itself, the Four Noble Truths, the UU principles and sources. Something, however tenuous, has meaning for us. My hope for us this year is that we deepen our personal soul work, that we learn more about one another on a deeper level, that we look more deeply at our service to our community. And we'll start this morning during a congregational conversation after the reception for merit. I have a confession to make. Last fall, I purchased a VW Eurovan Weekender. Someone who saw my van recently, along with my 62 T-Bird sitting in my driveway, said, "It's clear we pay you too much." I hope she was kidding. But in my defense, the van is 15 years old and has many, many miles on it. It's a 2002, and the last year these vans were brought into the States was 2003. So usually lots of work needs to be done on them. Some of you who may have had an old VW bus or a van again understand the appeal that these vehicles still have. I'm not the only one, I found out, in this congregation who just bought a VW Eurovan. But I purchased it so that I could have a few years to fix it up before I retire. And then Sue and I would travel around the country and drive into the sunset. It's very romantic. And it sleeps four people, which in this case means one bed for Sue and me and the other one for our dog. I took the van to the Beetle shop. It's one of my favorite places to go in Belfast. I always enjoy seeing what projects father and son are working on. Anyway, I bought the van with a sliding door completely demolished. Someone had backed into the door and the majority of it was one huge dent. There was little question in my mind that that would have to be replaced. And the right front fender was also severely damaged. Apparently one of the owners managed to hit a rock in a way that crushed the fender. And there were lots of other things that I noticed and had to be worked on. Like I said, a few years to fix it all up. So I went to the Beetle shop and started listing these things, and the mechanic said, "I think first we need to look under the hood." That is, the engine and transmission, as well as look at the chassis and undercarriage. The rest is cosmetic. Cosmetic? Did you see that door? Those awful-looking dents? But he was right. And I knew then that my VW mechanic was also a philosopher. This question is a metaphor for life. Should we not look at what makes something tick? Don't we need to look at its heart and its soul? What is it that is essential to fostering life, and what is it that is cosmetic? Now, I'm not nullifying the cosmetic. I look around me, for example, all over this church, and Jackie mentioned this, and I see all the incredible work that some of our own people have done to make this our home a more beautiful and sacred space. I am in absolute awe, believe me. A handful of people have spent hours and hours, week after week, painting this entire building, and I feel completely humbled by their generosity and dedication. And we need to keep working on these things. What I want to make sure, though, is that we don't lose sight of who we are, why we are here, and where we want to go as a spiritual community. Part of the reason I think that I didn't really consider the engine or transmission of my van as priorities is that I don't know anything about these. They are complete mysteries to me. So I can look at my T-Bird's engine and it makes sense to me. But modern engines? No way. I have no clue. So I imagine that this is similar to church in some ways. I am inviting us to go deeper in relation to our personal spiritual self, in relation to one another, and in relation to our community. But how are we supposed to do this? What does it even mean? There's no need to think that our spiritual work, whether personal or communal, has to be done completely alone. This Belfast congregation, this Unitarian Universalist Church of Belfast, is very thoughtful and very creative. So we do this work together, as a beloved community, as part of a team with sister congregations, as part of the larger Unitarian Universalist Association, eager to find more ways to make ourselves and the world more whole. There are always defining moments in any community or organization. One of the most critical for American Unitarianism specifically occurred in May of 1819 at the ordination of Jared Sparks in the city of Baltimore. It was on this occasion that William Ellery Channing, the minister at the Federal Street Church in Boston, gave what has become known as the Baltimore Sermon. And though you might not realize how grateful you should be right now, let me point out that that sermon was an hour and a half long. I am not going to read it to you. But it will summarize. The controversy between the Calvinists, who believed in predestination and the ubiquitous sinfulness of all humankind, and the liberal Christians, was at its height in the New England region at that time. These liberals would soon be known as Unitarians. And 6 years after Channing delivered his sermon, the American Unitarian Association was founded. In his sermon, Channing decried the Orthodox Christians' view of God, Jesus, the Bible, and human nature. Channing did not see God as wrathful and vengeful, nor as that which could be viewed as a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Rather, Channing understood God as benevolent and loving, and having a unitary nature. Jesus did not come to save humanity from original sin, noted Channing, nor from some innate evil on the part of humanity. In fact, the loving God had the good sense to endow humanity with innate goodness and with a reasoning and discernment to determine what is good and what is evil. As such, humanity was not condemned to some horrible state like hell, and we can see then the influence of universalism here as well. With reason, says Channing, people could then look at the Bible to interpret Scripture and understand it as a document written by and for men, and I am purposely using a very gender-specific understanding here. It's men who wrote it, rather than taking it literally. The discipline that would emerge from such thinking would later be known as biblical criticism. Jesus was thought by Channing to be fully human and not some mythical being who came as a divine presence to save humankind. Morality and ethics then did not result from a fear of eternal damnation, but rather from the conscience of humans, which reflects the love of God. Whether or not we consider ourselves Christian or believe in God, Channing's fundamental tenets remain foundational to our own faith as Unitarian Universalists. We see this in our principles: the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, a free and responsible search for truth, the right of conscience. I know, given the state of affairs in our own country and the world, that a lot of us are questioning the concepts of good and evil right now, wondering if people truly are innately good or truly have a conscience. I know that we struggle daily to make sense of the seeming chaos and inanity that comes out of Washington. I know that many of us are wondering if there is any hope. So what do you believe? What gives you meaning? Where do you find joy, happiness, hope, and beauty? Put in a different way, where for you is home? For home is that space where life and love move through us and always call us on. I close with a poem by Margaret Wolfe. We sit together and I tell you things, silent, unborn, naked things that only my God has heard me say. You do not cluck your tongue at me or roll your eyes. You stay with me in the dark. You urge me into being. You make room in your heart for my voice. I see my future self in you, just enough to leave the familiar in the past where it belongs. I breathe you in and breathe you out in one luxurious and contented sigh. In sweet company, I am home at last. May it be so, and amen. George Carlin, the brilliant but rather sarcastic comedian, once said, Frisbeetarianism is the belief that when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and gets stuck. We Unitarian Universalists like to joke about beliefs, ours as well as other religions. Well, how does a UU compliment an atheist? Oh, ye of little faith. Have you heard about UU dial a prayer? You call the number and no one answers. What does it mean when you see a Unitarian kneeling in church? His shoelace just came undone. Have you heard the latest UU miracle? Someone saw the face of Ralph Waldo Emerson on a potato chip. But the questions still remain. What do you believe? What do our beliefs say about who we are and where we wish to be?